Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Show me a power that needs more of you is what I
Father God, we thank you. I do apologize. I thought you all could see me. Apparently, the line was not open. So God bless everyone tonight. I thank God for you. I pray the lesson that go forth on tonight will bless you, amen, that you apply to your daily life, that you live a life that is upright and pleasing to the sight of God. So I thank everyone on today for being here in Bible study. We are the Gospel Public Ministries. Again, I do apologize. The line was muted, so I was talking, but you all couldn't hear me. So we thank God for this opportunity to be able to come and receive right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let us enter in today by prayer as we open up so that we can receive. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we come this day, oh God, to receive. Receive your word, oh God, that it may be engrafted on our hearts and mind, oh God. Help us to keep our minds stayed on you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth so that it will come to remember us, oh God, hallelujah, in all areas of our lives. And we just want to say thank you, Father God. We thank you, oh God, that you send your word, oh God. We thank you, oh God, that you're with us, that you never leave us or forsake us. We thank you, Father God. We thank you and love what you still. We thank you. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we come against every hindering spirit on the line. We come against a spirit of distraction. We come against a spirit of frustration. We come against every angry spirit, spirit of resentment, bitterness. We come against every spirit outside of the Holy Spirit that will cause us not to receive on tonight, amen. Spirit of limitation, amen. And we command you to cease your and die at the root and come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We decree and declare by faith, hallelujah, that we have a power and glory that God has given us, and we shall speak to a thing, and as we decree a thing, it shall be established in this earth, amen. So we decree and declare right now that we are victorious in every area of our lives, amen. For God is the head of our lives and the lifter of our heads, and we just want to say thank you. Father God, as we enter in, Lord God, we ask you to open up the channels of our spirit so that we can receive great and mighty from you in the name of Jesus Christ, and hallelujah, of your word on today, oh God, and we just want to say thank you, oh God. We bless your holy name. We call this lesson tonight blessed, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ, and we'll be blessed when we receive it, that we may apply it in Jesus Christ's mighty name, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, welcome, 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 everyone here on Wednesday night Bible study. I thank God for you. You could be anywhere else, but you decided you will be here tonight with us, and so we thank you. We're here in Houston, Texas. Those that are calling in from out of the state or anywhere else here in Texas, New York, New York, New Jersey, Mississippi, Louisiana, surrounding cities, and more, we thank God for you on tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight, you all, we're going to be talking about, hallelujah, victory, you know, having victory over verbal and emotional abuse. We all, at some point in time in our life, have experienced verbal and emotional abuse, whether as a child or as an adult. So we're going to talk about that on tonight, and I hope, you know, we all be delivered and set free. And even if we find ourselves being the one that is, you know, being verbally and emotionally abusive, that we will make a decision tonight to be delivered from that and be set free. And if we are the ones that are victim to it, then we will understand and know as well, hallelujah, that we are delivered and set free, hallelujah, from the plot plans and agenda of Satan and his agents. Amen. So let us dive in this beautiful night that God has given us. On tonight, again, we'll have an opportunity, if you have any questions or comments, we'll have a time in the lesson where we'll open up the line for those who press 1, if you have any questions and comments at the time. So I would suggest that you write it down, any comment as we go through the lesson on tonight, as I share with you, for when the line is open for you, that you will be able to ask that question or give that comment. So if you grab your pen and paper, your Bible, since it is Bible study, so that you can jot down some notes on tonight in scripture so you can go back for yourself and share it. Whatever we have here and whatever we receive, we want to make sure that we're sharing it. So do not keep it to yourself. Make sure that you're sharing it with family and friends and those that you love. So verbal and emotional abuse, being victorious or overcoming, being an overcomer. We're overcomers through Christ Jesus. So victory over verbal and emotional abuse. We hear things like you're worthless, you'll never amount to anything, I wish you had never been born. Words like these in childhood can wound the heart for a lifetime. Amen. It can wound the heart for a lifetime. I hope you all can hear me clearly tonight. I hope you all can hear me clearly. If you have a problem here, we just press 1, and I'll try to fix the line. Amen. So and further wounding you all takes place in the adulthood when control is the name of the game. Threats like, if you leave me, I'll hurt the children, or I've taken the keys and you're not going anywhere, and both emotionally and verbally abusive and are ways of maintaining control in relationships. I want us to understand that those are just getting into Bible study tonight that are just logging on online, I want us to understand as we're talking about verbal and emotional abuse, making sure, finding out what end are we on so that we can be delivered and set free. Amen. Your abuse can also be perpetrated without a word, whether with degrading looks, obscene gestures, or threatening behaviors. These actions inflict immense pain and impede emotional growth. So you don't have to allow an abuser to make you feel worthless. Amen. Jesus said that God not only knows each and every sparrow, but he also knows you intimately and considers you to be of great worth. If you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of Luke. Let's go to the book of Luke. Chapter 12, verse 6 through 7. Luke chapter 12, verse 6 through 7. I'll give you an opportunity to get to the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 6 through 7. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to make sure I'm not going too fast. I just want to make sure we get this. And I'm going to be going over this over a period of time here in our Bible study until we complete the lesson itself. So if you go to the book of Luke, it's Matthew, Mark, and Luke in the Bible. Matthew 12, again, I'm sorry, Luke 12. Sorry about that. Luke chapter 12, verse 6 to 7. Amen. All right. Luke, and I'm coming out the New King James Version, you all. The Bible says in Luke chapter 12, verses 6 to 7, are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore you are of more value than many sparrows. Amen. So understanding our true value is God's estimate of our worth. Not our peers or other people evaluate and catalyze us according to how we perform, what we achieve, and how we look. But God cares for us as he does for all of his creatures because we belong to him. Amen. So we can face life without fear. How many of us are dealing with that? You know, have so much fear that we're dealing with. Amen. Amen. So here in the Bible, understanding that God cares. He cares about you. Amen. He cares. I know a lot of times they think we're not worthy of it, but God cares. He loves you right here, right now. And we just thank God for the opportunity that God gives us. He gives us life and the opportunity to come to him, to get to know him. Amen. To be saved, to be delivered. Amen. All in love. Amen. So let's talk about what is emotional abuse tonight. Let's talk about what is emotional abuse. Emotional abuse is the unseen fallout of all other forms of abuse, physical, mental, verbal, sexual, and even spiritual abuse. Amen. People often minimize the importance of emotions, yet we deeply wounded people. Their feelings can be the driving force, you all, behind their choices, the life-sustaining element of their very beings. Emotional abuse strikes at the very core of who you are, amen, crushing our confidence, wearing away our sense of worth, crushing our spirit. The Bible says in Proverbs 17 and 22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Again, a cheerful heart is good medicine. Hallelujah. 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 We thank God on tonight. Hallelujah. But a crushed spirit drives up the bones. It kills us. Amen. It puts us in a place of being depressed. You know, so many people are dealing with depression. But the Bible says a cheerful heart is good medicine. Hallelujah. But a crushed spirit drives up the bones. We are spirit. We're human beings having a spirit. We're spirits having a human being experience. Amen. We are spirits having a human life experience. Emotional abuse is an outgoing negative behavior used to control our hurt, hurting another person. I want us to understand emotional abuse ranges from consistent indifference to continual belittling of character. See, all forms of abuse, emotional, verbal, mental, physical, spiritual, and sexual, damages a person's sense of dignity and God-given worth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to understand that's God-given worth. You have God-given worth, and you got to know who you are and whose you are, amen, to truly understand your worth. And if you look for people, hallelujah, to make you feel worthy, amen, you will always feel worthless, amen, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. See, that all forms of abuse wound, there are all forms of abuse you are that wound the spirit of a person and therefore are emotionally abusive. Proverbs, the book of wisdom says, a crushed spirit, who can bear it? The book of Proverbs 18 and 14, if you'd like to go there tonight. Proverbs 18 and 14. If you go there with me tonight, because I want you to put, if you don't have an extra Bible, you have it on your phone, you can use your Bible app and go to Proverbs 18 and 14. Proverbs 18 and 14. Amen. Proverbs 18 and 14. Amen. And I'm giving you our opportunity to get there tonight. Proverbs 18 and 14. Some of us may take a little longer than others, and that's okay. That's okay. Proverbs 18 and 14, glory to God. We thank God on tonight. Amen. We want to be delivered on tonight. The Bible says in the New King James Version, the spirit of man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? Hallelujah. Who can bear a broken spirit? The spirit of man will sustain him in sickness. So when your body is weak, it's the spirit of a man that says, I can go on. I can do this. I can do better. I can keep pushing. But who can bear a broken spirit? When your spirit is broken and down, it's hard to move. It's hard to go forward. It's hard to understand who you are, believe that you are worthy when your spirit is broken. When your spirit is broken, how many of us have felt brokenness in our spirit? And you go, my spirit is down. Hallelujah. Because what somebody did or what somebody said to you, amen? The Bible says the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness. But who can bear a broken spirit? Who can bear a broken spirit? The emotional abuse or psychological mistreatment, it scars the spirit of the one abused. The damage from emotional abuse lasts far longer than damage from any other kind of abuse. A broken arm will soon heal. A broken heart takes much longer. I was talking to someone about that probably this week. I was telling them how that thing would ring. It would constantly ring in your mind over and over in years after a physical wound is already healed. That thing that somebody has spoken into your life, because we're spirit and when we speak, we have power. There's power in words. We have to understand that we just can't say anything and not understand how it's going to affect that person long term. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, after extended periods of emotional abuse, our many victims lose hope, feeling that life is not worth living. You see, people are committing suicide. Hallelujah. So when the Bible says, hallelujah, but who can bear a broken spirit? That's why you see so many people committing suicide. You're looking at them saying, but they're so beautiful, they're so fine, they have money, they have this, they have a house. Why would they kill themselves? The Bible says, but who can bear a broken spirit? Who can bear a broken spirit? The Bible says in Proverbs 13 and 12. Let's go there together. Proverbs, we're already in Proverbs, but if you go to the book of Proverbs 13 and 12, I remember hearing this early in ministry, and I was like, wow, what a powerful word. And I believe it was T.D. Jakes. It was preaching from this particular book in the Bible, in Proverbs 13 and 12, it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. This is the New King James Version. If you have the New King James Version, it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. So when you're in a situation where you feel and you're waiting, you're hopeful, and that thing that you're waiting on to happen, it doesn't happen, and you're waiting, hallelujah, it makes the heart sick. You become sick because you're waiting and you're hoping and you're believing that thing is not happening. But when it comes, it's like a tree of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now you're ready to go and move forward because it has come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. We're going to going to open up the lines here soon if anyone has any questions or comments. I hope I'm not going too fast for you all tonight. Amen. See, emotional abuse can be passive-aggressive, everyone. It can be passive-aggressive. Passive-aggressive abuse is a means of indirect, underhanded control. Here's the term is passive-aggressive. Passive-aggressive abuse is expressed in anger through non-assertive, I want us to understand it, covert behavior. So in an attempt to gain covert control, they often use manipulation as a means of placing themselves in a position of dependence. Then with underlying anger, they become fault finders of the people on whom they depend. So victims of passive-aggressive people feel perplexed and dismayed at being the target of punitive and manipulative behaviors. See, friends of passive-aggressive abusers, you all often become enmeshed in trying to comfort or console them in response to their claims of unjust treatment and their inability to handle life on their own. Passive-aggressive abusers, you all need to recognize and resolve their very real anger. That's the key. That's the root right there. And to take heart to God's warning. Hallelujah. So do not be, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:9, say, do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. Ecclesiastes, for those of y'all that's writing it out, Ecclesiastes says in verse chapter 7, verse 9, do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. Some of us, or someone you may know, you can't say the wrong thing, do the wrong, you can be innocent in your actions, but they're quick to get angry. So those people, they always find themselves in a lot of trouble because they cannot control their anger. They end up in jail. They end up losing things. They end up hurting people. Or someone will end up hurting them because they're so quick to become angry and react. Hallelujah. Emotional abuse, you all, can be either overt or covert. Rejection. See, overt rejection conveys a message that a person is unwanted or unloved, as when one is belittled as a child. So covert rejection takes place in a subtle ways that may or may not be intended to cause harm by the perpetrator, so as when one is ignored as a child as well. So I want us to understand that. See, I want to give you all some biblical examples here. Both overt and covert rejection. If you go with me to the book, we're going to talk about Tamar, which was one of King David's daughters. So if we go to the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 13 with me. 2 Samuel chapter 13. 2 Samuel chapter 13. We'll give you a minute to get there. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. 2 Samuel. And the main thing is the Bible said is when we receive the word, we break it down, you guys, so we can apply it to our lives now, not just to hear it, but you read it, the hearers and doers will mainly be the doers of the word of God. You can read it, you can speak it, and be mainly, God wants it to be a doer of the word. You be the reader, the hearer, and then the doer. So God wants us to be the doers of his word, not just to read it and hear it, but to do it, so to apply the word of God to our life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Sorry about that. You all are a little distracted here, but thank God I'm back on task. One of my children, so we thank God. 2 Samuel chapter 13, if you're there with me. 2 Samuel chapter 13. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel chapter 13. And I'm going to read a little bit here for you, you all, just a little bit. That's 2 Samuel, if you're there, chapter 13, and I'm going to read a little bit here. It says, after this, Absalom, the son of David, had a lovely sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so distressed over his sister Tamar that he became sick, for she was a virgin. And it was improper for Amnon to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shema, David's brother. Now, Jonadab was a very crafty man, and he said to him, why are you
the king's son to come and sinner day after day. Will you not tell me? Then Ammon said to him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. So Jonadab said to him, lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. And when your father comes to see you, say to him, please let my sister Tamar come and give me food and prepare the food in my sight, that I may see it and eat it from her hand. Then Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, please let Tamar, my sister, come and make a couple of cakes for me in my sight that I may eat from her hand. And David sent home to Tamar saying, now go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was lying down. Then she took flour and kneaded it, made cakes in his sight, and baked the cakes. And she took the pan and placed them on before him. Amen. But he refused to eat. Then Amnon said, Have everyone got out for me? And they all went out from him. Then Amnon said to Tamar, bring the food into the bedroom, and I may eat from your hand. And Tamar took the cakes which he had made and brought them to Amnon, her brother, in the bedroom. Now, when she had brought them to him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, come lie with me, my sister. But she answered him, no, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing should be done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing, and I will head to home. But so she says, and I, where could I take my shame? Let me say it again. And I, where could I take my shame? And as for you, you would be like one of the fools in Israel. Now, therefore, please speak to the king, so you will not withhold me from you. However, he would not heed your voice. And being stronger than she, he forced her and lay with her. Then Absalom hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred with which he hates her was greater than the love which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, arise, be gone. So she said to him, no, indeed, this evil of sending me away is worse than the other that you did to me. But he would not listen to her. Then he called his servant who attended him and said, here, put this woman out away from me and bolt the door behind her. Now she had on a robe of many colors, for the king's virgin's daughters wore such apparel. And his servant put her out and bolted the door behind her. Then Tamar put ashes on her head and went away crying and bitterly. And Absalom, her brother, said to her, has Hamnam your brother been with you? But now hold your peace, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take this thing to heart. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. But when King David heard of all these things, he was very angry. And Absalom spoke to his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad. For Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. And it came to pass after 2 full years that Absalom had secret shares in Baal Hazard, which is near Absalom. And I'm going to stop right here. I'm going to stop right there, you all. Hallelujah. And you can read more for yourself here. And I want to kind of get to the point of where I'm going with this here on tonight in this particular chapter 13. As we talk about Tamar, hallelujah, and understanding here about the unfold rejection. So Tamar, the daughter of King David, was raped by her half-brother Amnon and then was openly and blatantly despised and shunned by him. Now, covert rejection, the father, King David, indirectly rejected Tamar by failing to execute justice on behalf of her. So when he refused to hold Amnon accountable for his sin against Tamar, David, in essence, y'all, let his son off the hook by totally ignoring the sexual violation of his daughter. So I want us to understand this. Understand what that means from the overt rejection and the covert rejection here, church. This is a question. I'm going to give this question here. What does the Bible say about emotional abuse? If anybody's asking, what does the Bible say about emotional abuse? So the Bible doesn't use the term, you all, emotional abuse, but it does instruct us as to how we are to treat one another. The Bible details numerous attitudes and actions that we should have toward each other. If we follow certain guidelines, you all, we will never be abusive toward anyone. We follow the guidelines of Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 4. Hallelujah. If you want to go there with me, I want us to understand this right here. We follow these guidelines in the book of Philippians, you all, chapter 2, verse 3 through 4, and I'll give you all a moment to get there here, give you a minute. Again, that's the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Chapter 2, you all, verses 3 through 4. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 4. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So I'm coming at the New King James Version, and it's in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Amen. Better than himself. So understanding this tonight, you all, selfish ambition can ruin a church, but genuine humility can build it up. So being humble involves having a true perspective about ourselves. It does not mean that we should put ourselves down. Before God, we are sinners, saved only by God's grace. But we are saved and therefore have great worth in God's kingdom. We are to lay aside selfishness and treat others with respect and common courtesy, considering others' interests as more important than our own, links us with Jesus Christ, amen, who was a true example of humility. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are from the Philippians was a cosmopolitan city. So the composition of the church reflected great diversity with people from a variety of backgrounds like here in America and walks of life, you all. So having a little bit of understanding of that. So at this time, you all, I'm going to open up the lines for those of you all who have any questions or comments. Press 1 at this time. If you have any questions or comments, please press 1. I'll give you all a moment here. If you have any questions or comments, please press 1. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. I hope I'm not going too fast for anyone here tonight. Amen. We have someone who has a question. Amen. Phone number is area code 49. That's 4 digits, 9287.
This evangelist, Kim, how you doing, sweetie?
I'm good. God bless. Go ahead.
Okay, so we definitely, I like how we're covering this topic, but the thing that I don't know if it's ever been talked about is how do we deal with this kind of topic, you know, how in the church, like, what, you know, what's the repercussions that, you know, to help a person conquer this, how, you know, say, like, if I were to come and say, you know, I feel like I've been a victim of this, you know, whether it's, you know, verbal or like the lady went through the rape, whatever, then how is that to be dealt with? I mean, as a minister, I definitely need to know that.
Yes, absolutely. And so in this lesson, as we go through and as I continue on, we're going to talk about how we deal with this and what does the Bible say and how do we apply that. And so
okay.
That everybody can get
okay.
It at one time. So, and then once we record it, so it's going to be a series of lessons. So we'll cover some of this this time and we'll cover, like, next week, we'll finish it through. So it's a whole lesson that I'm sharing with everyone. And it's going to give you, like, the scripture to go to and how do I get to this and the breakdown
okay.
of it so that you can have it, you know, for yourself. You know, so the first one is me explaining what it is, what the Bible says, and then the next is talking about, you know, how do we overcome this? You know, how do I help people? How do I help myself? How do I get myself out of a situation? How do I identify that if that's happening, you know, to me, or am I doing it to somebody else? Because a lot of times we'll be doing it,
right.
And we don't even realize we're the one that's being verbally abusive or emotionally abusive. You know, we're thinking, I'm not hurting nobody. Even when we shut ourselves down, you know, that's emotional abuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right,
so it's so
right.
much. And the one thing the Bible says is that you resist the devil and he shall flee. So that's how that we have to resist, you know, even going back to that pain and that hurt and being delivered and making our, it's a made up mind, making our mind up saying, I'm going to be delivered from this. I'm not going to continue to allow this to affect me. I'm not going to keep doing it. I'm not going to let someone to keep doing it to me. We're not doormats. We're not made because we're in Christ and Christ in us that we allow people to just walk over us because we're children of God. Amen. But being delivered and knowing how
Amen.
To walk away, and, you know, and seeking God first, yes, asking God, seeking God for direction and instructions on what to do. And so that's as this lesson goes forward, we're going to be talking about all that, like it's all going to unfold. And y'all believe you'll get everything that you need in this lesson. And I hope I answered a little bit of it for you right now, at least.
Yes.
So as we move forward.
You
so
did.
Right now, the main thing. Yeah, so the main thing is, like, if we can deal with the root of it, and a lot of people, they just want to go to what it is right now, but what is causing this? Because if we don't deal with the root, we can never get rid of it. We can never be delivered from it unless we deal with the root of it. We can cover it up and cover it
right.
up, but after a while, you know what I'm saying, that thing is going to come right back up. It's going to keep on. It's going to keep
mm-hmm.
on taking us. And so if you get that uprooted and get it up and know what's causing it, then we can really deal with it and be delivered. And then understand, where did it start? You know, we talk about childhood. A lot of people, these scars and things that are happening is affecting their life as adults because of what happened in their childhood. And they don't even realize, oh, my
right.
God, this is why I'm like this. This is why, and they're blaming everybody else. And they want people to get on the bandwagon
mm-hmm.
with them. But really, it's them that's causing all the pain because of what they went through as a child.
Absolutely.
So we can deal with
Absolutely.
The, you know, deal with the root of it. It's more important and special that we know and we educate ourselves to be able to help others to come out, even ourselves. You got people that's in
mm-hmm.
ministry that need to be delivered. They don't truly understand. And it ain't them. They say it's not me, it's everybody else. But when you realize, it's like, man, it's been me. I mean, I read something out there about Chris Rock. He was saying he didn't know he had this problem, and he was affecting people. People didn't want to be around him and deal with him all those years until he realized what it was. He finally got to the root of it, and he realized, man, it was me. Like, he was like, all these years, he was thinking it was other people, but then they dealt with the root of it. He was like, oh, my goodness, it was me. That's it, and I'm hoping we can get, you know, really get to some of that doing this study, and I thought it was very, very important, you know, even things we're doing, like, man, you know, like I said, just not saying something to somebody, and that's emotional abuse. So it's like, you're like, really? I did that. You mean I was, oh, man, you know, I did that. I said that. Oh, I didn't think, and it's abuse. And you're like looking at it like, wow, I didn't even know that. So I'm hoping it'll help us all on tonight. I thank you so much for, asking a question tonight, and as we continue on with this lesson, we'll unfold a whole lot, you know. As I was saying this lesson, I said, wow, I found myself in someone saying, wow, I didn't even know that I was doing it, wow. I thought because I was getting by myself and shut myself out that it was okay, but didn't realize, hey, that's emotional abuse. What did it cause a person to feel like? I remember my children, they would do something. I was like, I'm just not going to say anything to her. I'm going to let her see how this feels. She just did this. And it was really just great. Instead of giving her, discipline her, like, giving her whipping, like, putting on punishment, I just wouldn't say anything to one of my children. And I didn't realize how that was really affecting that child. Like, mom was not talking to me. Like, she'd rather get a whipping than do it for me not to say anything to her. And that was emotional abuse.
Yeah.
So, God bless
this
you. Thank you so
this
much.
This is a necessary topic. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. God bless. We're going to be wrapping up this shortly, but we're going to go on a little bit more. Thank you so much, Evangelist. God bless you. Amen. Is there anyone else out there that has any questions or comments? All right, we're going to proceed on here, and we're going to be wrapping up here in a few. We'll talk a little bit here about what is verbal abuse, so you can understand what is verbal abuse and how powerful the tongue is. We hear it all the time, the life and death is in the power of the tongue, but yet and still we use our tongues loosely to say whatever, but freedom of speech, right? I can say what I want to say. I can do it, freedom of speech. But we're not understanding how we are actually implanting discord into our lives and our children's lives from generation to generation about what we have spoken. We have sown seeds of discord with our mouths. We have spoken curses over our life and others' lives, and I realize that we have power in your mouth. Amen. We have power in our mouths. Amen. So verbal abuse, you all, is a form of over-emotional abuse. A skilled woodsman wields his weapon, you all, carefully, chopping repeatedly on a precise spot until the target tree falls. So this lumberjack takes pride, you all, in controlling himself and his weapon. Give you an example here. Never striking a careless blow. So likewise, you are a verbal abuser. Uses his tongue as a weapon to hack away at another person. So this abuser is skilled in his ability or her ability to strike a blow, wielding words that cuts at the heart and soul deep. I don't know if you ever said, you don't want me to say anything. You don't want me to loose my tongue. And some of us know we have that kind of power in our mouth that's sharp. When we speak, it cuts like a knife. It cuts deep. And, you know, what's sharper than a knife? Did I continue? Huh? A razor, sharper than a razor, hallelujah, and understanding that you are, how powerful it is. The Bible said in Psalm 52:4, you love every heart and word, oh, you deceitful tongue. That means they love it. They love what they do. They look forward to it. This is what they do. They love to cut people down, tear you up, belittle you, and everything. This is what they do. They love it. They have a tongue of deceitfulness. My Lord, my God. My Lord, my God. Hallelujah. You are verbal abuse is a systematic, ongoing use of harmful words or a sharp tone in attempt to control or dominate another person. That they have a tone about it, where they speak a tone that makes you afraid, that puts you in fear, that makes you feel demeaned. They have a tone, hallelujah, my Lord, my God. You all understand abuse means mistreatment, the destructive misuse of something or someone. Verbal abuse is always destructive. Your tongue plots, the Bible says, in Psalm 52:2. Your tongue plots destruction. It is like a sharpened razor. You who practice deceit, hallelujah. We just said what is sharp in them. I said, razor. And it's here in the Bible, in Scripture. Sharp as a razor here. My Lord, my God. You are verbal abuse inquires, you are, I'm sorry, verbal abuse injures the feelings of others with reveling, insulting, you are, in contemptuous words. Hallelujah. Matthew 5:11, you all, the Hebrew word for revile is gada, from a root word that means cut or wound. Jesus said, you all, Matthew 5:11, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. So he says, you're blessed. Even when these people speak against you and about you, they insult you because of him, you are blessed. You are all blessed. Hallelujah. You ever been in a place where you try to give that word to God and they kind of, oh, these are Bible thumpers and this and that, oh, you so holy. They talk about, I've been in a situation. Matter of fact, I'm in Washington, and the Bible tells me, I'm blessed. Jesus said, you're blessed. You're blessed when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me, because you believe in Christ, because you're a Christian, because you walk and you're according to what the Word of God says. So people are coming against you. And I really feel like that in the workplace. I do. I just feel, you know, people have things to say about me, around me, because, oh, she's over there with her Bible. She's over there. People are coming to have a prayer, and they're looking, you know, all up my head or giving me all kind of evil looks or whatever. Because they're not in Christ and I'm in Christ. Amen. The Bible says, if you body me, I body you. So, amen. We thank God for the word of tonight. We got to get, if there's anyone that has any questions or comments, as we get ready to wrap up here, we have about 17 minutes left in the lesson. Amen. So if anybody has any questions or comments, we're going to continue, and then we're going to wrap up here. We'll get back here on next Wednesday and finish our lesson. If you all need me to slow down a little bit, I will. But remember, every Wednesday, I mean, our Bible studies are archived as well as our Sunday service in our Saturday school. So if you miss anything on tonight, maybe I've moved a little too fast for you and trying to write it down, you can always go back to Blog Talk Radio, the preacher, the pastor, and click on today's lesson, or tonight's lesson. I want to talk about this. We continue on with verbal abuse. Often, Verbal abuse often y'all seeks to injure the reputation of others using tactics such as backbiting barbs or belittling talk, and strategies such as slander, slurs, and lies. And lies, y'all. The Bible says in Psalm 52:3 that you love evil rather than good, falsehoods rather than speaking the truth. They will not speak the truth. They rather speak lies. They love evil. They seek it. They enjoy it. Amen? They enjoy it. So I'm going to go over a little bit more here, you all, and then we're going to wrap up here. Like I said, we have a few more minutes here, about 15 minutes, and if anybody has any questions, we definitely want to get those in before we close out. I want to talk about brainwashing. Some of us have been in relationships or know someone that has been in a relationship, and you're like, she's brainwashed or he's brainwashed. See, many prisons of war, you all, have succumbed to brainwashing, and it's an effect factor you all use in psychological warfare. This term refers to a systematic force of indoctrination, you all, that puts pressure on prisoners to relinquish their beliefs and accept opposing beliefs. So unfortunately, you don't have to be in a prison, you all, or a prison of war camp to be brainwashed. Your captor could be a significant member of your own family or a new set of acquaintances, you all. In whatever circumstances, you all, brainwashing occurs, and the damage can be devastating, systematically wearing away your sense of self-worth and confidence, causing you to distrust yourself, you all, to distrust your own self, and even to lose touch with reality. See, the Bible says in Galatians 4:17, it says, those people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us so that they may be zealous for them. So what the Bible is saying here, I'm sorry, if you want to go to Galatians, let's go here before we wrap up tonight. Galatians 4:17, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to be careful what kind of company you keep. And I appreciate our last Sunday being careful, because either they're going to change you or you're going to change them. So we have to be very, very careful. Amen. Galatians 4:17. Amen. Bible says, they zealously court you. And this is the New King James. Can we talk tonight? The New King James Version, Galatians 4:17. They zealously court you, but for no good. The Bible says they zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you, that you may be zealous for them. So understanding what the Bible is saying here about brainwashing you all. Brainwashing, we understand that. So they refer to false teachers who claim to be religious, and this is what the Bible said at the time, what was going on during the time in Galatians. So they refer to the false teachers who claim to be religious authorities, experts in Judaism and Christianity, appealing to the believers desire to do what was right. They drew quite a following, but Apostle Paul said, however, that they were wrong and that their motives were selfish, and false teachers are often respectable and persuasive. That is why all teachers should be checked against the Bible. So even in our lives, our daily life, we have to be careful who we are around, who we keep in company, understanding what they're trying to do. They're trying to get you to follow them and their doctrine and what they're saying. That's like being in the world and going by what the world say, believing the world's report and the world and people that's in it. So we have to be really, really careful not to be falling for what is called brainwashing. Amen. So you all, as we get ready to wrap up here, I want to talk about tactics employed by those who brainwash others, and then we're going to wrap up here tonight, okay? And so when we get back here on next Wednesday, we're going to talk about more here. So much more to talk about here in being victorious and over verbal and emotional abuse, you all. But understanding first the breakdown of it, what it is, what does it come from, you know, am I the one or am I not the one? Which side am I on, basically? So we're going to be on one or the other side. So it's two sides to the thing. What side are you on, and being delivered both on each side, being delivered whatever side that you're on. So before we wrap up here, I want to talk about tactics employed by those who brainwash others. Verbal brainwashing is intimidation. Implying that your failure to comply with all demands or to adapt you are to adopt
all but abuses, attitudes, or beliefs will result in severe consequences. Indoctrination, you are repeatedly implanting messages contrary to your presently held values or beliefs. Discrediting is another, belittling your outside family and friends who disagree with the abuser. Degrading, engaging in name-calling, insults, ridicule, and humiliation. Labeling, claiming that your thoughts are childish, stupid, or crazy. The Bible says in Psalm 35 and 20, they do not speak peaceably, but devise false accusation against those who live quietly in the land. Emotional brainwashing, you all. And I'm going to talk about that here. And isolation. Isolation, you all. Isolation. It means depriving you of all outside sources of emotional and social support. Induced exhaustion. Keeping you up late, interrupting your sleep, causing sleep deprivation, wearing you down physically or emotionally, excessive compliance, militantly enforcing trivial demands, ignoring, withdrawing of emotional support, but later denying the withdrawal, forgetting, intentionally failing to keep promises and agreements, exploiting, using you or someone close to you for selfish interest or gain. The Bible says in Psalm 143, verse 3 to 4, the enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. My Lord, my God, my heart in me is dismayed. When we look, you all, at dismayed, it needs to lose courage. It needs to lose courage. My Lord, my God, it's important that we understand you all, you know, what is really going on here so that we can be delivered, so we can be set free, because Jesus came to set us free. Amen. And we are free indeed. Those of us in Christ, we are free, and we are free indeed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. If anyone has any questions or comments tonight as we get ready to close out here, please go ahead and press 1 at this time. Press 1 at this time. Yes, Lord. We thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. So God bless everyone on here on tonight. I pray that you receive on tonight. I pray that you apply, you know, truly use life application. That's where we go and get the word and then apply to our life that we are doers of the word of God. Amen. You know, trusting God, living a life of expectation, expecting God to do it. Hallelujah. Understanding you can't do it by yourself. People say, how can I do that? It's hard. It's hard. I hear it all the time. But if you trust God, amen, and ask God to be your strength, to guide you and lead you, I guarantee you, with all faith and ability, God will do it. Amen. But having faith, Bible said, without faith, we cannot please God. So we have to have faith and walk in faith. And be honest with yourself. If you have a hard time, if you like the message, the Bible said, I believe it. Help me with my unbelief. But say, oh God, Lord, I believe it. Help me with my unbelief. I'm having a hard time here. My thoughts are running wild and rapid, and I don't know how to control it, but I want to be in a position. I want to be where you want me to be, Father God. I want to be delivered and decree the crown of your life. Hallelujah. Pick up the authority that Jesus Christ has given you when he sent the Holy Spirit and speak over yourself. Amen. Encourage yourself. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, make a decision. Have a made of mind today to be delivered and set free from that thing that's been holding you back or causing you to stay in a place and allowing those in our lives to be verbally abusive, emotionally abusive. And if it's you, hallelujah, be delivered from being the abuser. Amen. Hallelujah. So let us pray and we wrap up here tonight. Again, I thank God for being here in Bible study. I pray that my tone and my speed of talking, I'll be able to say that, was at a moderate pace for all to receive on tonight. I do apologize sometimes. My tongue gets twisted and caught up while I'm trying to read. I don't know if it's from the medication I'm taking for the pain, but I'm just going to say the devil is a lie. Amen. So we go keep on keeping on. So God bless you once again. We thank you here at the Gospel Public Ministries. Let us pray, Father God, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for new mercy and new grace. We thank you, Father God, for the lesson that we have informed on tonight, oh God, that we've been delivered, oh God, hallelujah, from every problem and way of abuse. Amen. And if we were the abuse, oh God, we declare in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the power and authority that you've given us, that we are delivered and set free, amen, that we will speak blessing and not cursing, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ. We will encourage and uplift
goes. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we will know and learn, oh God, so that as we will receive on tonight, that we understand that there's power in the tongue, and we shall not use it loosely, oh God. And we just want to say thank you. We receive your report, oh God, and we believe your report is out of the world. Amen. And we just want to say thank you, and we love you. Though we leave this call, but never your presence, Father God. Lord, I ask you to bless everyone tonight as we lay down to sleep, oh God, that you will see your angel, God, to stand in your presence, to follow your angel of healing, deliverance, oh God, angel of peace and joy, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father God, we just want to say thank you, and we love you, oh God. And Lord, we look at those, oh God, that lost their daughter, oh God, on yesterday. We look at Sister Connie and her friend B. We look up tonight and lost her granddaughter. Lord, we pray, oh God, Lord, about comfort, that you would comfort them and be with them, oh God. Let peace come and be still, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, Father God, for we know that you know all things, oh God, and all things are in your hand, oh God. You're all seeing, all knowing, everywhere, God. And we just want to say thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that your angel and camp around our halls right now, protecting us from seen and unforeseen dangers. And Lord, those that are on the line tonight, oh God, we pray the protection and protection of their family and their household, oh God, that there be no lack, oh God. We decree and declare you to be Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We decree and declare tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, you are our healer, Jehovah Rapha, you are our peace, Jehovah Shalom, you are our protector, Jehovah Sabbath, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we just want to say thank you, and we love you. We give it all over to you, oh God. We can't thank you enough, but yet sure we thank you. Lord, we love you, and we need you. More of you and less of ourselves, oh God. We bless your holy name, and we seal this prayer with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that does all things but fail, and the promises of God, and the Holy Spirit of the living God that dwells in us, all that believe. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all tonight. We love you. We thank God for you. We'll be back here next Wednesday, same time. We'll continue on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll continue on in our lesson of study, victory, having victory over verbal and emotional abuse. But invite someone to join us here in Bible study. God bless you. If you like, you all join us on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. or 2 p.m. for our Sunday service, Central Standard Time. You be blessed and know that God be for you, and who can be against you? Amen. You are already blessed in Jesus' name.
Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, let us sing forever of his saving grace on the streets of glory.